Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
And we're back on Chip Chat Live from Mobile World Congress. I'm Allison Klein, and we're joined by Kelly Harrell, VP and GM of Software Networking Business Unit at Brocade. Welcome.
Thank you, Allison.
So Brocade is a name that I've known in networking for a very long time. Why don't you tell me what the software networking business is about for Brocade and how it fits into the larger corporate structure?
Sure. A lot of people don't know. Brocade's actually the number two provider of network infrastructure equipment for the data center worldwide. They got that position from a long heritage in storage networking and is now turning its sights on IP networking. And the unique approach that Brocade is using is to go after this market with a software-centric strategy as opposed to a hardware-centric strategy. And the main angle right now is the Viata virtual router. Viata became part of Brocade a little over a year ago through acquisition. And now my role is running the software networking group within Brocade. So that's inclusive of Viata, but will include other products as well.
So when you talk about virtual networks for Brocade and Viata, what is this actually changing in terms of networking and what technologies is it using?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. For Brocade, when we talk about software networking, we're talking about Intel fairly exclusively. And this has emerged from the original vision of Viata, which was that system architectures over time may start as a black box, but over time they will decouple into best-of-breed hardware and best-of-breed software. So the compute industry, which is about 10 times or 3 times bigger than the networking industry, went through this transition in the 90s from the mainframe to Unix to Linux. And so the theory was that it was networking's time. And so when we started Viata, we said, full stop, we're betting on Intel. And we're going to bet on the technology curves that Intel is going to bring, the efficiencies. We were a little early, but we were right. And our relationship with Intel is now very deep and, 7 years running. And what we've found is that the first real adoption pattern actually occurred in the cloud service providers, not in the classic tier one telco. And it makes sense why they would do that. If you think about the cloud business model, they have to deliver services at utility prices. If they can't do that, they don't have a business offering. So not only do they have to be extremely efficient on the economics, both CapEx and the OpEx of what they roll out, they have to be able to deliver a wide range of services in order to attract the customers to come to their cloud. So the way that they would, in the past, deploy their networking solutions for these services was through a very painstaking process of rolling out physical hardware, and they had to inventory it and maintain it, and it was a very, very long process. So now, instead, what companies like Amazon and Rackspace and SoftLayer, which is IBM's cloud, what they do is they offer network as a service provisioned automatically from their portal. So when a customer needs, say, a router or a firewall or a VPN device, the cloud provider pushes a button, the virtual router starts up somewhere in the shared hardware, and the controls are handed to the customer. And then they have all of these network controls for the first time delivered on demand and as a service. So that is a real operational example. Those examples I gave, Amazon, Rackspace, SoftLayer, have been in production for years, actually. And the telco industry didn't even know that was happening.
Interesting.
Yeah. So now the telcos have been starting to pay attention to what was happening. Intel was making them more and more aware of what's possible and using some of these examples as real operational use cases. And that, along with some other influences, created this whole boom called NFV.
Right.
And so it's funny, if you look around the show right now, you can't swing a cat without hitting a booth that says NFV.
Right.
But it's fascinating because of how big this show is, and with that statement that the term NFV is only 14 months old.
Right. I remember hearing it about it basically around this time last year.
Yeah, it was October of 2012, yeah, at the SDN NFV World Congress, SDN OpenFlow World Congress, the top nearly 15 carriers published a co-authored paper titled Network Function Virtualization, a call to action. And they basically said, our businesses cannot survive with the old infrastructure model. We need to be able to use industry standard servers that are highly efficient, very cost effective, and we want very, very agile software on top of them to be able to give us not only lower cost, but far, far more business agility so that we can compete with a lot of new competitors and actually make money off of our existing customers as well.
Now you talk about the fact that this technology started and the concepts of the technology started with the cloud service providers, and they tend to be companies that are on the early side of any sort of technology inflection. They're aggressive about what they're putting into their data centers. Telcos traditionally have been almost the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable using technology that is proven, tested, etc. What is going to drive the change for them to start acting more like CSPs in terms of technology adoption?
Yeah, it's an accurate observation. One of the things about the cloud providers is that they're extremely competitive. And it's a bit like the old hosting industry, because it was very clear immediately how your service stacked up to the other vendors, other providers' service, because it was all online. Everything was being done digitally. And the telcos do have the history of what, I wish I'd coined this phrase, but Nav Chandra from IDC did. He said the problem with the telcos is that it's what he calls the problem of the three twos. 2 years, $20 million, and too late. That's how he described how long it takes to bring up a new service, or even to test one, to trial one. So there's a reason why that kind of methodical approach has been there. There's very tight SLAs that have to be managed, and there's a lot of behaviors that are kind of ingrained in the service providers because of that. But we've finally hit this inflection point where they cannot not pay attention to the new competition.
Right.
They have to do something about the over-the-top traffic, for example. So they've got Web 2.0 companies, whether it's Facebook or YouTube, riding over their pipes for free. And that's crushing them. And guess what's driving that kind of traffic? Mobile handsets.
Right.
So it's happening in the worst parts of the network. It's choking what they've got. It's not monetizing their infrastructure. And they have no option. They know that this is not a matter of degree. This is not, can we improve 10% more and be okay? They need to move 10x better. So you will find this once in a while. You find a real point of inflection that causes a disruption. And right now, I think it's very clear, because there's not a service provider on the planet that does not have an NFV strategy in place right now.
No, we're obviously live. You can tell that from the background noise. Do you think he's talking about NFV right now as well?
Within the next 4 minutes, it might come out.
Exactly. So you guys are demoing some solutions. You're demoing the Viata 5400 and 5600. For those listening at home, what's the difference between those routers?
Yeah, so the 5400 is the product that's in use around the world. And that is, its progenitor actually was available for free download for years, I think we're approaching 1.5 million downloads worldwide.
Wow.
So this is the largest software networking footprint on the planet, and it's all over the place. It's in production for free some places, much as people will use Linux for free. But there's also many commercial customers that are on it. The 5400 is a bit stronger version from that original download. We actually allow that for free download off the Brocade site as well, with a free trial. We like that. It's kind of frictionless, gets it in people's hands so they can try it out and see what the real thing is. The 5600 is in beta right now. The primary difference between the two is that the 5600 is taking advantage of some very new technologies that are Intel derived. And we're leveraging the new silicon through some of the software that Intel provides as well, called one particular tool set called DPDK.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically allows us to take our 5600 performance to a full 10x factor above
Wow.
where the 5400 is. And on a per core basis, we can drive 10 gig line rate on a single x86 core. So if you think about this device, this virtual machine sharing physical network, or sharing physical hardware where there's other virtual machines running, you know, a single core of a server can be used to displace what external to the server would have been an entire device.
So when you look at these products, and that's very impressive, I thought you were going to say maybe 50% better or something like that. You said 10x. Where do you imagine these products residing? In corporate data centers, in cloud service providers, in carriers? Where are they going?
Yes.
Okay.
The nature of what the offering is, it's horizontal in applicability because it's IP networking. It's routing, firewall, VPN, and you will find use cases for these in every single IP network in the world. What we are finding, though, is the pattern of adoption. Anytime you have a real disruption, you know, history shows that it doesn't hit the broad market at once. It invades through successive submarkets. And the first real submarket that hit into was the cloud service providers.
Mm-hmm.
We're also seeing kind of a secondary effect in the enterprise data center, where customers want to use this technology in their data center and then burst into a cloud.
Right.
And have the same technology on either side, and the fact that when they burst into a cloud, the solution is already there because the cloud providers have already adopted it.
Right.
So you've got this commonality end to end, and so we're seeing the enterprise data center as kind of a fast follower to the cloud provider, but the real tsunami that's just building off the shore and rushing toward us right now is the telco NFV model.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of buying power. You have intense desire to get better fast from these providers.
Right.
And you're seeing things like HP this week announced their open NFV strategy. Here you have not only one of the world's largest service server providers, I think they have something like a 70% position in the telco server environment.
Mm-hmm.
And they are viewing NFV as big as cloud or big data as an initiative for them. And you can see that on the show floor here, which HP, the entire show floor, is all about NFV. So it's moving really, really fast.
So if 2013 was about the growing buzz around NFV after the publication of the spec, right? I'm not quite sure what you call the document that was published in 2012.
Yeah, it was a white paper, and it was literally titled A Call to
mm-hmm.
Action.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of solutions coming out in 2014. What do you think when we come back next year at Mobile World Congress are we going to be talking about in this space? Is it about examples of customer deployments? Is it the uptick of the NFV telco industry emerging and becoming a massive volume play? Where are you seeing that?
I think next year it's going to be two things. It's going to be proof points in terms of production,
mm-hmm.
because here what we've got are POCs
right.
being demonstrated. By this time next year, there will be bragging rights. Who drew first blood, really?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be funny because it'll be the service providers will brag as much as the vendors.
Right.
On this one, I'm service provider A and I did it first, and
mm-hmm.
I got the gold star. And so we're going to see that part next year, which is going to be the reality of these deployments. And people are looking for real measurable ROI. They're looking for that. You can sketch it out, but until you actually run the test and then do a postmortem on how it went, you can't actually calculate the exact ROI. So we're going to be seeing, the evidence of the deployments, and then right on the heels of that is going to be the next thing, the next big thought of how to use this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the really interesting and probably most disruptive element of NFV is going to come into play. It's one thing to say, I know where my network equipment is, and I'm thinking about replacing it with servers and software instead. It's another thing to say, now that I realize software is networking, where else do I have servers?
Right.
And how could I lay that software networking in those servers and actually change my network topology? How can I actually change my infrastructure for business purposes? We have one tier one who's doing a POC. They had that morning thought that at every base station there was a cluster of servers.
Right.
Well, what if they put virtual routers in every one of those distributed base stations? What could they do with that kind of network control that they couldn't do before? because you wouldn't put a router out there. You wouldn't put a firewall or a VPN. You wouldn't do anything that could do traffic management or quality of service at that level of capability. That traffic was always backhauled to the data center, which was where a lot of that functionality, those tools were applied. But you're going to find that in effect what's happening because of the separation of software and hardware in NFV is that the data center is entering the network.
Right.
Not the network entering the data center. So mm-hmm. is the big data center the only place where this goes? Is a central office? Is a POP? Is the end of a base station? You know, so you're mm-hmm. getting this merging of compute and networking at an unprecedented level, and it really would not have been made possible if it weren't for the fact that Intel had the strategy to make packet processing a native x86 competency. And it's taken years for it to get there, but it's true, and we can see it now.
You know, it's an exciting area in terms of data center innovation. I don't know if there's a hotter one right now in terms of a broad ecosystem engaging. Brocade has some interesting products in the marketplace, and I know that we've probably piqued the interest of our audience to find out more. Where would you point folks if they want to learn more about what Brocade is doing in this space?
I would definitely point them to brocade.com. Right there from the homepage, you can actually download a free one.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thanks
it was very
me.
Educational.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.